Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. I said, yes, Jesus loves me. You know, you got to talk for yourself now. I said, Jesus loves me. He loves me more than he loves you. I said, he loves me more than he loves you. I'm his favorite. I'm his favorite. All right, I just want to see if you'll stand up for yourself. Praise the Lord. You know, isn't it good that he's got enough to be able to make all of us his favorite? Every one of us can be his favorite. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And none of us will be left missing out. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Well, did you have a good day today? Yeah. Amen. You have a good day. You know, we ought to plan to have a good day every day. You know, no bad days. No bad days. No sad days. No depressed days. No sick days. No defeated days. Only victory days. Amen. We live in the victory. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. You know, the world can, you know, pretty well just do what they want to, but we don't have to do it with them. I said, we don't have to do it with them. Amen. I'm telling you, God is a good God, and he's good all the time. And I'm telling you, he's coming back soon. Soon and very soon, he's coming back. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that we're ready. You know, we need to be about the Father's business. We don't need to just be thinking about getting out of here. But it's going to be nice. It's going to be nice when we do. But we don't need to be thinking about that. We need to be thinking about souls that need to be saved. People need to be touched and reached. How many of you got some loved ones out there that need to be reached? You know, some loved ones that still need Christ, still need Jesus in their life. And all. We don't want to see them go to hell. You know, hell is a real place. It's not just a figment of somebody's imagination. It's a real place. Thank God heaven is a real place. Amen. I said heaven is a real place. And you know, and honestly, we're not gonna live in heaven but a short time. Amen. The Bible says God's gonna move heaven to earth. He's gonna move the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. He's gonna move it down to earth. He's gonna move headquarters. I don't know if he'll move the whole heaven or not, but he's gonna move headquarters down to earth, according to the book of Revelation. And we're going to live and reign with him on a new earth, a new heaven around it. You know, sin just messed up all this one. But I'm glad to know that God's going to refurbish and make it brand new. He's just going to probably just get rid of the old and make a brand new one real quickly. Hallelujah. And we'll be a part of that forever. Amen. Amen. But you know, we still got 1,000 years we got to reign with him here on this earth. Amen. That's after we have that big 7-year party. I mean, I know there's some party folks in here. I've been to a few parties in here. I know we got some party folks in here. So we're all looking forward to that 7-year party. Hey, they're going to know new life is at that party. I said, they're going to know new life is at that party. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. If you will, open up your Bibles with me. Actually, don't open them right now. I want to go back over. I'm in a second session of a message that I titled "More Dangerous Than a Rattlesnake." Did anybody miss that first message? More dangerous than a rattlesnake. How many of you would pick up a rattlesnake and play with it? Anybody in the house? Huh? I don't think anybody. I don't have any takers, right? How many know it's dangerous to be close to a rattlesnake? And I almost, when I was younger, I almost walked up on one when we was hunting. And thank the Lord, the dog pointed the snake. And I thought it was a covey of quail. And usually you go up and just shake the bushes, you know, and the quail fly up. But I was so thankful that when I got close enough, I heard these little rattles. And I realized that the dog saved somebody's life. Could have been mine that day. Saved my life. And then I think I told you about the one where my dad built the shower, outside shower, because we get real dirty on a farm, especially at harvest time. And so Mom wouldn't let us bathe in her house, in the tub in the house, so she made us build a shower outside. And we had a little wood crate thing that Daddy built for the bottom so we wouldn't be standing on the grass when we were showering in the stall. And one day, I don't know who it was, decided to go in there and lift that crate up and look. And I don't know if it was my brother or who it was, but found a bunch of baby rattlesnakes underneath that had been hatched out and over there. And the little round snakes was about that long, but I'm going to tell you, those are just as dangerous as the ones that are 6 feet long, is the little ones. They're probably more dangerous because a lot of times we think they're another kind of snake and not a rattlesnake. But I was so thankful. We were very close to having some confrontation with that. But I tell you, it's dangerous. A rattlesnake's dangerous. But I'm going to teach on something not more dangerous than a rattlesnake. And that's the words that come out of our mouth. The words that come out of our mouth. Everybody say the words that come out of our mouth. Hallelujah. That can be more dangerous to us than a rattlesnake. And I want to go back over just a couple of verses. We talked in about Mark 7 and two verses that I want to deal with here. Verse 15. And it says, it's not that which goes into the mouth, but that which comes out of the mouth that defiles the man. You know, we're pretty conscious nowadays of what goes in our mouth, what we eat. How many of you know? Most everybody, not everybody, not 100%, are locked into this. But a lot of people are trying to look into better things to eat. But Jesus said it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles the man, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles the man. Now, I want to read that to you out of the Living Bible, because it says this: our souls are defiled by what we think and say, not the food that we eat. This is what the Living Bible says. Our souls are defiled by what we think and what we say, but not by the food we eat. Now we can't say that food wouldn't damage or hurt your body if you ate the wrong kind of food. But Jesus said the food would not hurt or damage your soul. Everybody say soul. So we need to realize that's what he's talking about. But he said what we think and what we say can damage or defile our soul. And then in verse 20, it says, also out of the Living Bible, it said, it's our thought life that pollutes. Yeah. It's our thought life. Everybody say thought life. Thought. See, as dangerous as your words are, your thoughts are just as dangerous. Because we're going to discover that every word that we produce comes out of what we think. Yeah. Out of the reasoning and the thoughts of our mind. What we spend a lot of time thinking about develops words, but words develop actions in our life, and some of those actions we don't want, some of the actions we do want. We just got to make sure we're feeding the right thing so that we're producing the right words to get the right results we want in our life. You know, I know everybody and a lot of people in the church world want to blame everything on God. You know what I'm saying? But God is not responsible for everything that happens in our life. Amen. He's not. And then a big percentage that don't want to blame on God wants to blame the devil. I'm going to tell you tonight, a lot of things that go on in our life is not the devil in our life. Who is it? It's us. It's what we've been meditating on. It's what we've been thinking on. And those thoughts turned into words, and those words turned into realities in our life. What a man thinks in his heart, he speaks out of his mouth, and once we speak that out of our mouth, it turns into an action that we have to deal with. Right. Amen. Jesus is teaching us that. Amen. Then in Matthew, I'm just going through, we're just going through this now. We're not even pulling these up unless the girls want to pull them up back there. Matthew 15, verse 11, he reemphasizes this. He said, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles, but that which comes out of the mouth. That's just simply Matthew following up what Mark had said. And then verse 18, he says, it's that which comes out of the mouth. He said, that which comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. From the heart. Everybody say heart. Heart. We're going to hear this word heart a lot tonight, and we're going to work on the definition of the word heart, because when we think of heart, what do we think of? We think of this right in here, right in this chest, that pump. I know we don't think about it much. I mean, it does a lot of work, and we don't think about it much, really. You know, unless something goes wrong with it. And then we think about it a lot. right? And something if it don't beat right or skips a beat or whatever, or you can't catch your breath because, you know, whatever. Then you think about it more, but most of the time it just works, and just keeps on working, and we don't even think about it much at all. Thank God it just keeps on working and working and working and working without us having to think about it. God made it where we didn't have to think about it to make it run. It runs by itself. But the heart that we're going to be talking about tonight, and the Bible talks about much, he doesn't talk about that heart very much in the Bible, but he uses the word heart in many places, and that word is defined totally different than the one that pumps blood in our body, in our chest here. Amen? And we need to get an understanding of that word tonight, and we will. But I want to take you to one other scripture that we talked about before we get into new scripture tonight, and that was Matthew 12. And a couple of verses here, verse 34, we've talked about this. Now, how many of you forgot it? You want me to preach it over again? I'll preach it over again. Y'all forgot. Were y'all here? Was anybody here when I preached this message about the rattlesnake last time? Does anybody not even remember this rattlesnake message? Okay, all right. Is anybody here? I can see the smile on your face. I know you're here. All right. You got a look on your face. You know, somebody's have a look on your face, like you don't know where I'm coming from. So I was wondering if you was here. I thought sure I saw the same faces here when I preached this. It says in the 34th verse of Matthew 12, it says, and I like this because it's a Living Bible translation. They don't have the Living Bible up here. That'll be the King James or either the Amplified up there. But in the Living Bible, it says, a man's heart determines his speech. A man's heart determines his speech. So our speech is determined by what we're putting in our heart. Amen? And then he said in verse 37, this is Living Bible as well, your words determine your fate or your outcome. You know, We really haven't thought about that a lot, that everything that we are experiencing today came from words that we sown in our past. I'm going to say that again because that didn't go over real good. Or maybe you're thinking about it. Everything that you and I won't put myself in there too, everything that we are experiencing in our life has come from words that we have sown somewhere in our past. Words don't just cease to exist. When words come out, they stay in the world. Hello? They're here. You know, and we need to realize that words that we speak produces something. It is producing something in our future. It may be a short time that it produces, but it could be a long time before it produces. But that word will not die or go away without producing. Words are designed to produce. When God said, let there be light, 186,000 miles, a little over 186,000 miles per second, light obeyed his word. And it came. God made all of us speaking spirits like himself. God created, how many of you believe the Bible said God created us in his image, in his likeness? Well, if God is a speaking spirit and everything that God says happens, then if we are created in his image and in his likeness, then we speak as well, and whatever we speak is creative and it causes things to happen. Amen. Something happens by every word that comes out of our mouth. Amen. There's no word. Let me go to this one. I believe it's in the 12th chapter here in the King James. Let's look there. I think that's where it's at. Yes, it is. It's verse 36. If you want to look at it, it's Matthew 12. I had you on 12 anyway, didn't I? Before? I told you didn't have to turn. Turn there now. Okay. Verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word. Now, when we think of idle, we think of non-productive. But I used to, I was raised on a farm, and many of the pieces of equipment that we operated had what was called idlers. And that idler either went up and pressed pressure on a chain or pressed pressure on a rubber, what do you call it, Dale? No, it's a, not rubber, it's a belt. A belt or a chain. But because basically, if that idler didn't catch up there and hit it and put pressure on it, it wouldn't move the equipment the way it needed to move to do the job that it needed to do. So what God is really saying to us here is there is really no idle words. He said that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give an account of. In other words, you can't even speak what you might think is just jesting, or you might think it is just cutting up, we're just doing all kind of things. There's no such thing in God's kingdom as a non-productive word. He said these things that we call idle words, every man's going to have to give account of those words. Every word we speak, we're going to have to give an account of. And that account doesn't actually mean that we're going to give it when we get to heaven. It means we're going to have to account for it right here on this earth, because we're producing something in our own life by what we say. Right. Now, how many of you believe the Bible says when he said you can say to this mountain, be removed, and doubt not in your heart, and it would happen for you? Yeah. How many of you believe Jesus taught that, right? He taught that. We have a lot of teaching on that. I'm not getting there right now. But what I want you to understand, if you believe that you can speak to a mountain and say it out of your mouth, be thou removed and doubt not in your heart. The heart's important. Doubt not in your heart, and a mountain will move out of your life and a circumstance will move out of your way. Then God is trying to tell us every word we speak is a producer. It's not just the faith words that we speak. It's the fear words we speak. It's the anxious words we speak. It's all of the words that we have in our vocabulary, even that he says we would think is idle. When we think of idle, we think non-productive, nothing to it. He said, no, every idle word man will give an account of. Amen. Now, what we're going to probably do after we get through this, we're going to go to prayer, and we're going to ask God to plow up all those words that we said that we didn't want to have working in our life. You know, we say a lot of negative things that we really shouldn't say as Christians. We say it without even really comprehending sometimes that we're saying them. And I'm telling you, when we learn to listen and hear ourselves and correct ourselves, that's when we're about to get in the place where God wants us to get, where we're going to have some good change in our life. You know, how many of you know you can hear all the negative things everybody else says? But it's harder to hear what you say with your own ears. Amen? So this is designed to help us, because we need to realize that everything we're saying is going to come back against us or for us in our life. We want to make sure we're saying more words that's going to be productive and come back for us than the things we're saying that we don't want to happen. And then we wonder when it happens, why did this happen to me? You know, we sing that old unbelieving song, why me, Lord? What did I ever do to deserve this? You know, the little why. You know, we get the country to it and we whine a little bit with it. Why me, Lord? What did I ever do to deserve this? You know. We get the whining with it. Amen. But God loves. Okay, now let's go. I want you to go with me over to Proverbs, because we want to deal with this tonight. Amen. We know this is true, but we want to deal with it, and God gives us a way to deal with it. In Proverbs chapter 3, I want to begin tonight, verse 20. He said, my son, or that would, again, you'll see a lot of this and not intended to offend ladies, but in the spirit world, there's no gender. I'm going to say that again. In the spirit world, there's no gender. There's not male and female spirits. Spirits don't have gender. Spirits are all the same, like God. But we have male and female bodies. So many times you'll hear the word used, my son, and he's not cutting the ladies out, because he's talking to spirit here. He's not talking to the flesh. I'm sorry. My wife said I said it wrong. That's chapter 4, verse 20. I said it wrong. Chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse 20. He said, my son, attend to my words. To what? To what kind of word? To my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them, my words, not depart from your eyes. keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. One translation says, health and healing to all your flesh. How many of you would like to live in life, abundant life, God kind of life, and always have health and healing if it's necessary to need healing, that you would always be able to have healing? Now, I think health is better than healing. But thank God, if we find ourselves where we need healing, then I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to obtain healing. So everything he's trying to tell us here comes from God's word. And in verse 23, he said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the what? See, we've already learned from out of the abundance of the heart, from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. Out of whatever you're abundantly full of, whatever you have been abundantly putting in your heart, not this one, but we're going to describe it tonight. Basically, the heart is the soul of man. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. How many has at least heard that? I know if you've been in this church long enough, you've heard that. We are a spirit, say it with me. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Our body's not us. It's just a house that carries us. It's made out of dirt. Our soul is made up of three things: our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our mind, our will. Say it with me. Mind, our will, and our emotions. What we're going to be dealing with is the mind, will, and emotions. But what God is wanting to tell us here in Proverbs is, if we fill our mind with the Word of God, we will have the right kind of production coming out of our life. We have to make a decision, which is a part of the will, that we will put God's word where he tells us to put it, so that we can get the results that we need to get, or we want to get in life. Because the life that we have, we're going to produce it. God's not sitting up there producing everything. He made us producers. He made us like him. He made us co-creators with him. We create with him the same way he creates. He creates with his heart and with his mouth. We create with our heart and with our mouth. And what we need to realize is, whatever we're dealing with in life, sometimes we don't like to hear this, but whatever we're dealing with in life, we have created it somewhere in our past. Because from the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks, and our mouth will produce whatever our heart has fed it to produce, and it comes out of our mouth. He said, whatever is in that abundantly in our mouth, it will come out of our heart. Amen. So he's trying to tell us here in Proverbs, how many know this is a wisdom book? Yes. He's trying to give us wisdom for living. Amen. How many of you want to have more wisdom for living? Yes. It's got to be right here. And he says the number one thing here for wisdom, for living successfully, is putting God's word in your heart. The more you decide to put more of God's word in your heart, the more right kind of producing will come out your mouth, and the more good living you're going to have as a Christian. When we do not put God's word in our heart, then there's other things that we put in our mind more abundantly than God's word, then whatever we're putting in there in the most of abundance will grab hold of our mouth, and our mouth will talk from that abundantly, that abundance that's in our heart. See, if you're putting more of what's going on in the world in your mind, you're going to produce from that worldly thing. You're going to produce things out of your mouth with the world. You're going to identify with the world. You're going to talk like the world. You're going to speak like the world. And you're going to get the world's results, even though you're a Christian, even though you're a believer. And if something goes wrong, then you're going to blame God for why something went wrong. And God said, I'm not the one doing it. I'm not the one bringing anything bad in your life. God couldn't bring anything bad to us if he wanted to, but he doesn't want to. But he couldn't bring it to us anyway.
That's right.
God could not put one sickness on any individual.
That's right.
Why? Why couldn't God put a sickness on an individual? Because God is pure light. And anything that is of the darkness of this world is opposite of light. And the light of God would burn up and destroy anything that's of the darkness. So God could not put, couldn't take hold of disease to put it on anybody, even though the church world has had this preached to them. I'm telling you, it's been preached to them so much that you think it's gospel. That God puts things on people's life. Anybody ever heard that God put sickness on somebody or God put this disease? We like to add this to it. We try to write our own Bible. We say God put it on to teach them something. Well, that makes a pretty poor teacher. Amen. But God couldn't. Let me just say that God could not put disease or any sickness on anybody. Because if God touched it to have to get it to put it on somebody, he would destroy it before it ever get to somebody. Light destroys darkness. Light overcomes darkness. Darkness has never been able to shut the light out. When you walk in your dark room tonight, all you got to do is flip that switch, and guess what? Before you can blink your eye, as fast as you can blink your eye, every bit of the darkness in that room fled somewhere. We don't know where it went. But we don't care. But it's not there anymore. Why? Because the light overpowers the darkness. It's always that way. It'll always be that way. God is light. We are the children of the light. We are the sons and daughters of the light. Hallelujah. We are filled with the light now that we're born again. Hallelujah. Oh, you hear me? We are walking in the light. We're living in the light. Hallelujah. The light of God.
Amen.
Amen. And so what God is wanting us to understand is when we walk in the Word, that Word is putting more light into our soul, into our mind, our will, and our emotions, so that we are producing from the abundance of God's Word the good things that we want to have in our life. Everything in our life is produced by us.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not the devil doing it. It's not God doing it. Amen. It's coming from us. It's coming from the abundance of what we're storing up in our soul. All right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You might as well say amen or oh me. Amen. We've all oh me this. Yeah, we've really been through a lot of this and all. But once we have the wisdom of God, then we don't keep doing what we've been doing. How many know if it's wisdom, you change? You know, I mean, you could find yourself maybe going upside of something hard and just beating your head on it. How many know if you find some wisdom to know that ain't really good to do, you change, you quit beating your head on something hard. I'm just trying to give you illustrations so you can see where I'm coming from. Everything starts with us with a decision. We are created like God with the ability to make decisions. We would not have had the fall of Adam if man hadn't been given the ability to make decisions. If Adam had not been made in the image of God, in the likeness of God, we would not have been in the sin and the mess that we're in right now. See, even though the devil tempted them, he didn't cause that to happen. They fell for the temptation. See, that's all the devil can do is to tempt you. What he tempts you to do is put more in your mind than God's Word. So that you have an abundance of everything else, and God's Word is a minor thing in your mind. Because if God's Word is not in abundance, then whatever's in your heart in abundance is flowing out your mouth, and whatever's coming out your mouth is producing things that you are having to go through in life. Amen. So look what he says. It says, my son, attend or give your full attention. Give your full attention. This is verse 20. I'm back to 20 again. I'm sorry. I'm backing up. My son, attend to my word. Everybody say attend.
Attend.
That's just short for attention. Giving your full attention to my words. Incline your ear, everybody say ear, unto my sayings or my word, and let them not depart from your what? Eyes. So we have two things here, eyes and ears, right? The two gates that enter into the heart are the eyes and the ears. Now we have six senses. And those are two of those six senses, but these two senses, the eyes and the ears, are the doorway or the gate into your heart. Your heart is your soul. The governor of your body is your soul. Your spirit is only a director. Amen? How many of you know your spirit is the real you? When you're born again, don't be looking at y'all looking at me kind of funny. When you're born again, you're not asleep, are you? Okay. When you're born, how many of you born again? Amen. How many of you know that means you're a new creature? Amen. Do you know what it means to be a new creature? Yes. That means that somewhere inside of you, something was made new that didn't exist before. Yes. Are you hearing me? And for that to happen, that spirit inside of you that was you had to die. In the crucifixion of Jesus, he paid for that so that we would be merged into his death, so that when he was raised up, we would have the likeness of his resurrection inside of us. That's what the new birth is all about, a brand new spirit inside. Now, if the spirit is in us, is just like God and is like God inside, and it's pure and it's holy and it's brand new, then if that was running things, you and I would never commit a wrong thing in our life after we become a believer. Amen. That would be nice. That would be wonderful. Now that's what eternity is going to be like, but not right now, because if we had to receive that kind of package to where we were born again and our spirit was to take the leadership and the headship of the Trinity that we are, which is spirit, soul, and body, we would have had to done just like Jesus. We couldn't have remained here on earth. We'd have had to go to heaven and get our new body and our new soul. So if you want to go ahead and leave, you can get your spirit to run everything. But right now, your spirit is much like the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of your spirit, and both of them do not run things, they direct things. They're in us to direct us. They're in us to give us the right direction, the right leadership. They're not in us, our spirit man is not in us to run this being, because we'd be totally perfect if he did. We would never make a mistake. We would never have a sin. We would never think anything that was bad. We would never have any problems. We'd be just like living here, like we would be in heaven. But that's not the way it is. We're not in heaven right now. Amen. We're still on earth. And you better be glad you are, because if you was in heaven, well, you know, you might like to be in heaven, but I guarantee you, if I were to try to get a load of you up tonight and take you to heaven, you probably would say, I'll wait till the next load comes along. There was one preacher who was preaching in his congregation, and he said, how many of you want to go to heaven? And all of them raised their hand but one little boy. He said, I think I better ask this again. Maybe he didn't understand. I said, how many of you out here in the church tonight want to go to heaven? And everybody raised their hand but one little boy. So he was really concerned, and so he always, like me, goes to the back door after church was over, and he's back there, and the little boy comes by him, and he said, I think I better talk to him. He said, son, I asked tonight, how many of you wanted to go to heaven, and you didn't raise your hand? Why didn't you raise your hand? Don't you want to go to heaven? He said, oh, yes, sir. He said, I want to go to heaven. He said, well, why didn't you raise your hand? He said, I thought you was getting a load up tonight. I thought you was getting a bus load tonight. Everybody wants to go to heaven, just don't want to go right now. Right? Hallelujah. So what we need to understand, our spirit basically is like a guide, a director, and when we get the Holy Spirit, it just makes us much better at having a guide, because he's guiding us and we're guiding this body, but not making decisions. Our decisions basically come out of the soul, comes out of our mind, our will and emotions. And we as Christians can put anything in our mind we want to put in there. God's telling us what we need to put in there. But we can put whatever our mind decides. See, our heart, everybody say our heart, is our mind, our will, and our emotions. So whatever we're putting in is whatever's going to feed. Whatever gets in us in abundance is going to feed the mouth, and the mouth is going to produce whatever we're putting in. If we're putting more world in than we're putting the word in, we're not going to walk in victory as a Christian. The only way we're going to walk in victory is to put through these eyes and these ears the word of God, so that our heart is filled in abundance with God's word. God's word is what gives us the victory.
That's right.
Amen. So he said, put your full attention to, verse 20, he said, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear. Lean your ear more toward my word than anything else you're leaning to. And let not them, my word, depart from your eyes. In other words, your eyes and your ears should have more on the word than anything else. The word is not for church, for me to preach to you. The word is not designed. I thank God you're here and I'm preaching to you, and that's a part of what God wants to do. But God has more in mind for you on a daily basis with his word than just a Sunday basis and a Wednesday night basis. God has not really called me or any other pastor to do your studying for you. He's called you to do your own studying of the word, putting the word in. I have to put the word in my eyes. I have to put the word in my ears if I want the right results to come out in my life. So you, every one of us here, is the same way. You may go to the best church in the world, but that's not going to give you victory. You may sit under some of the best preachers in the world and hear some good preaching all the time, but that's not going to give you victory. That's not going to make your words work right for you. What's going to make your words work right is when you lean your ear and you put your eye more on the word of God than you do anything else.
Amen.
That will guarantee you that your mouth will always speak what is right. Thank you for your excitement.
Amen.
Amen. Are you with me?
Yeah.
He said, listen now, verse 22, he says, here's why we need to do it. For they, my words, are life. How many of you want life?
Yes.
How many of you want death? No, we want what?
Life.
We want life. And we want abundant life.
Amen.
We don't want just any kind of life. We want the God kind of life.
Yeah.
Can we have the God kind of life here on earth, even though we're not totally complete? We're born again in spirit, but we still have the same mind and the same body. Can we have the life here? Yes, we can have the good life here. But it comes through what? The word. The word. It comes through the word. It comes through the word. He said, they, my words, are life unto those that find them. That means you got to do a little work to find something. There's some digging we got to do in the Bible. I mean, not just reading. This Bible is God speaking to us. It's God talking to us. And when God starts to talk to us, he doesn't talk to us just verse by verse. He'll talk to us about other chapters. He'll talk to us about, if we've spent time in the Word of God, he will take us from one place to another place to another place by his Spirit. He will feed us what we need in an abundance, so that we are speaking what we need to speak to have this kind of life produced in us on earth.
Amen.
Amen. He said, they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and their health, and the Amplified says health and healing to all their flesh. We can walk every day with health and healing. What would keep us from health and healing? Whenever we let other words take the dominance in our mind, so that the words that are worldly are more than the words of God, amen, or the thoughts that's in our mind are more than the thoughts of the world and not the thoughts of God's word, then our mouth will speak the world's words, and not the word of God. The word of God needs to be pouring out of us all the time. Doesn't mean you need to be a preacher up here like I am, but you need to be constantly aware that God's word is where your life is. God's word is where your source of victory is. Amen. And your eyes and your ears need to be more on it than any other thing. God don't mean that we don't need to do other things and be involved in other things and have other things. He wants us to do that, and we can do that, but he just don't want anything else to be in more abundance in our soul than his word. Because if he's in abundance, if that's in abundance in our soul, then we're going to always have life, and we're going to always have health and healing. We're not going to talk sickness. We're not going to talk death. We're not going to talk dying. We're not going to talk defeat. We're not going to talk these things because that comes from an abundance of wrong things in our mind, in our soul. And everything that's in our soul that's coming out our mouth is working on producing something in reality in our future. See, most of the time, whenever we have something as a Christian that comes against us, we think that was something that came from out here from nowhere against us. And we can't even identify that that came from us. See, that's why the enemy is able to work so much and get by with so many things in our life. It's because we can't identify where our problem's coming from. If you can't identify where your problems come from, you can't solve it. So you will always have it. Anything that you can't identify where the source of it is and where it's coming from, you can't get rid of it. Amen. See, when you realize everything in our life as Christians will be solved by putting God's word in abundance in our mind. Just think about, what do you do mostly in a week as far as what you put in your eyes and in your ears? You don't have to answer this. Is it God's word? Is it television? Is it work? What is it that's mostly before your eyes and your ears on a weekly basis? See, we got to realize that's a dangerous rattlesnake. Are you hearing me? Because that thing will bite you, and he's got poison. It'll bite you, and the way it bites us is through the abundance of what's in our mind coming out our own mouth. You know, if you don't know what to do, how many of you know, if you don't know how to fix a car, you take it to a mechanic, right? Because you're going to mess up more than you fix, trying to fix it yourself, right? Well, Jesus, God's the mechanic, and he's trying to tell us what we need. He's trying to tell us how to fix the situations in our life. But we've got to put more of his understanding in our soul, so that once we get that understanding coming out of our mouth, the abundance of that will come out of our mouth, and what we're abundantly full of, we sow it out of our mouth, and it becomes a reality. So the only way to stop anything in our future is to stop what we've been sowing in our mind.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And put God's word more abundantly in our mind than anything else.
All right.
Amen?
Amen?
All right, so let's go back. Let's look here. Okay. Verse 23, he says, keep, that word is defined guard. Guard your heart. See, not only are we to sow in our heart, and we're going to produce out of our heart, but he says we got to guard what we've already sown in our heart. How many of you know, if you got some valuables in your house, some people will get a dog to guard it? And some people will get a 357 to guard it. You know, as long as somebody don't know that there's a 357 in the house, they probably ain't going to come in. If they got any kind of inclination that there's a 357 there. But how many of you know, everybody hear the dog barking?
Right.
Amen. People get certain things. You get alarm systems. Why? Because everybody's not like you are. We get alarm systems because there are people who steal. Right? There's thieves out there. So the enemy is trying to steal the word out of your heart. He's trying to steal what you sow in the word, because he knows the word will get you on the right path, speaking the right thing and having all the right results. So he tries to steal your thought life. He tries to steal your time with God, your time with the word. He's good at pulling you off on things out there. He can't do anything that he wants to do to you, because if he could have, he'd have already done it. If the devil could do to us what he wanted to do, he'd kill all of us. He wouldn't let us be preachers up here preaching this gospel if he could kill us. He can't kill us, but he can work on us and get us to kill ourselves. Oh, yeah. He can work. He's a thief. Everybody say a thief. And so he says here, we got to have a guard over our heart. We got to guard our heart so that we're not letting anything else get in abundance over God's word in it. We want to make sure the scale is always tilted toward the word of God. God don't want you to just be in the word 24/7. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying get in the word, quit your job, don't go to work. A lot of people like to do that. That's not what God is saying. We're in this world. We got to live in this world. But God's made a way for us to live victoriously in this world and not be defeated. Hallelujah. To be the head, not the tail. To be above and not beneath. To be the lender, not the barrier. God's made a way for that. But the thief doesn't enjoy us having that victory. So he's got to work at you to tilt the scales. How many of you, I know you love the word and you're in the word, but how many of you know there's some times that things just want to pull you a different direction than getting in the word of God? I mean, even your own mind will tell you, ain't no use of that sometimes, getting in the word all the time. Yes, there is. That's where your victory is. Your own mind is not saved, and it'll lie to you. That's why he said you got to put the word in, because the word is truth. The word is truth. He said, let every man be a liar, but my word is truth. The word will truthfully speak to us and help us. So God is trying to tell us here that that we have to have a guard. We gotta lean our ears, and we gotta incline these eyes more toward God's word than any other thing. That will put it in our heart. But once we get it in our heart, we gotta guard it. We got to guard the heart, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when your heart is more full of God's word, you're speaking more of what you really need to be speaking that will produce the kind of life you want to be living and will give you the victory that you want to live in. You are in the driver's seat. You are in the control seat. You're not in the back seat of the car with a machine driving the car. You know, I just found out they got cars now that's out there on that road that doesn't have a driver in it. I don't want to be on a road with a car without a driver. Amen? I don't want to be there. I have to use my faith for the cars that have drivers. You hear me? Or are you listening to me? We have to drive defensively. Out there, we have to drive with knowledge. We have to drive with the knowledge of God's word. We have to know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yeah, that's right. And every tongue that rises up will be brought down. Yeah. That no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. No weapon, even if it's a human weapon, yeah. In a car, yeah. Driving a car. It won't happen to me. That's the word in me. The word coming out of me. I'm speaking that word. Amen. I'm declaring that word. I'm speaking and declaring that word. And I believe that in my heart. I've got it abundantly put in my heart, and it's coming out my mouth. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Amen. I'm the lender, not the barrier. I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed coming out. I'm blessed in the city, and I'm blessed in the field. If I just go out of town, I expect to be blessed, because God's word said I'm blessed going out of the city. And when I come back from where my trip was, back into the city, I expect to be blessed when I come back in, because the word said I'm blessed coming back in the city. The Bible says everything I put my hand to do is blessed. Before I was ever a preacher, I was a carpenter. And I'm telling you, I live by that. Everything that I do with my hands is blessed. It'll prosper and it'll produce. All I have to do is put my hands on it and it's blessed. Because God said it. I had my heart abundantly full of it. I had expectation of it and my mouth was speaking it. And guess what? I was having it. I was having it. It was happening. It was working, praise God. The Word works. The Word works. The Word works. But it's got to be in us in abundance. It can't be in us just a little bit. It can't be just a little dab, do you? That's Brill Cream. Y'all remember that old? I'm a little older than some of you. Some of you don't know what Brill Cream is, do you? That was the hair stuff you used to put in your hair a long time ago. It's called Brill Cream. I lost a lot of them. It's not a little dab, do you? When it comes to God's Word, it's not a little dab, do you? See, we expect to do as little as we can and get as much of God as we can. God's not asking us to do the hard thing. He's asking us to do the right thing. He's not asking us to do something that's impossible. He's asking us to do something that's very possible. He's not asking us to make it happen out here. He's telling us, if you put my word in, my word will make it happen. If you'll put my word in till it's coming out your mouth, whatever you're sowing out your mouth that's being produced by my word will be exactly what you want in your life. Amen. It'll change anything that you're going through now that is not what you want. Yeah. If you got something in your life you don't want right now, you probably sowed it somewhere in the past yourself. Because we don't hear ourselves say what we say. Now, I'm going to have to close here, but listen, whenever we can get to the place where we can hear ourselves speak negative against God's word, then that's a good place. See, everybody else is here, you're in my negative speaking. But when you hear it yourself and correct yourself, there's where the power begins to turn and to change. Because we say so much that we don't know that we said. That's negative. Amen. I'm just dying to go. Are you dying? Dying to go? I'm dying to go. You know, why don't you just go without dying? Why can't you just go without dying to go? Well, that just tickled me to death. Why couldn't it have tickled you to life? Why? Because the flow of the world is negative. You hear me? The flow of the world is negative. But we say things all the time. We say things. I caught myself the other day saying something. Right now, the pressure is on for Christians to say things about what's going on around us. Why? Because the devil needs the Christians to feed it. He wants us to feed it. Because our words are powerful. They're creative. And he wants us to feed this negative things that are going on. We need to talk positive. Amen? We need to speak positive things. And this is not just positive thinking. Amen? This is positive living. This is God kind of, I'm closing. This is the life, he said right here. He said, my words, they are life. This is living. This is living, praise God. Are you hearing me? This is not just existing. It's living. God don't want us just to exist until he comes back. He wants us to live. Live life. Live a good life. Live the happy life. Live the covenant life. He wants us to take our words and change circumstances and change things, change situations, change things out there. Amen?
He don't want us to sit back and let the weather just take over us and do what it wants to do. He wants us to speak to the weather and change the weather and the circumstances that are in the world around us. Jesus talked to the wind. Jesus talked to the waves. Jesus talked to demons. Jesus spoke to things. But he was doing it out of the abundance of his heart, filled with God's word. He wasn't doing it out of mental assent. He was doing it because his mind was full of God's word, and it was just pouring out of his mouth. He didn't have to think what to say. It came out of him because he was abundantly full of it. Amen? He didn't have to think about that. He just did it. Wind, be still. When's the last time you talked to weather? We need to talk to the weather. She said yesterday. She's abundantly full of God's word. Yesterday. That's why some of you should have said yesterday or whenever. But we need to. I got to close, but this is so good. Are you getting something out of this? Are you hearing what the Spirit's wanting to say to us? We the devil is really not our problem. He is a defeated foe. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe chapter 1, he has been brought to zero. Jesus brought him to zero. And yet the church has made him some monstrous thing that has more power than the church has. He doesn't have it. The only power a zero has is off the ignorance of people. Satan gains his power off of our lack of knowledge, our not knowing. If you know you could speak to something and it would work for you if you spoke to it, wouldn't you do it? I'm telling you, that's the way it is. But you can't speak to it unless it's abundantly filled in your word, the word's abundantly filled in your mind, so that it's the word producing those words out. It can't be just a mental assent, because that doesn't work. It's got to be from the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaking. Amen? By his stripes, I'm healed. I am healed. Are you hearing me? I'm healed. How many of you are healed tonight? Hallelujah. We're walking. We're really walking in divine health because Jesus provided it. But when something comes up, what do we do? What is our first thought? What is the first product of our thinking process whenever we get attacked physically? Is it to go the natural way, go the world way, go the way everybody else goes? Or is the first thing you do is with what word has been put inside of you, you begin to declare out your mouth who you are and what you have, and you speak to that thing and you command that thing to get out of your life. Just like Jesus commanded the wind and the wave to cease, and the water that was filled that boat. I'm telling you, the water just came out of that boat. Don't even know where it went, but it left. And the Bible says they were immediately to the other side. You know, wouldn't it be great if, when the problem comes up and some attack comes against you, that you had the right things coming out of your mouth, you had the right things producing from your heart coming out of your mouth, and all of a sudden it would be gone because you spoke to it, and then you'd be to the other side of that situation and you'd look back on it and say, what was that? Instead of just going through it and going through it and going through it and going through it and going through it. I want to encourage you. I'm trying to encourage you tonight. Amen? I hope you feel encouraged tonight because listen, we're our own person that allows this to happen. There ain't nobody out there telling us how much or how little we can get in the Word. God's not trying to rule it for you, but he's wanting to tell you that if you put that Word in abundance to where it fills up more than any other thing, then it's going to come out your mouth right. And you're going to speak right, and you're going to get right results. Amen. Can you give him praise? Amen. Hallelujah.